The title of the sermon is Dreaming God's Dream. Dreaming God's Dream. You know, we as a human being have the ability to dream big. We all have the ability to dream big. This is what makes us different from the other animals. And other animals have limited potential to dream. I believe when I see a dog, they dream, but they might dream about eating their favorite snack. You know, that's what they're dreaming about, you know. But an animal can't dream up a smartphone. An animal, you know, like a dog, you know, they can't dream up a cure for a disease or the Sistine Chapel. You know, we are, as a human being, able to dream up new invention, art, music, systems, and culture. We can go from horse and buggy to spaceship in less than a generation. You know, how are we able to do this? God gave us the capability to dream. Great things won't happen unless we dream. Every great thing begins with a dream. Great invention starts from a dream, from our imagination. I believe creation began with a dream. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, before God says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you. Before you ever existed, God dreamed you. You know, your existence was not an accident. It's not by chance. It's not a mistake. You are made in the image and likeness of God. In each one of you, there's a great potential to do great things because each one of us are able to dream. You know, the blessing of God is limitless. You know, God tells Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you. All people. God wants to bless us so much. God wants to bless Catalyst. God wants to bless you so much that we as a church are going to change the world. We're going to change the world together. So I have big dreams for this church. I have big dreams for this church. But there is a problem, you know, and this, I'm going to do a series, you know, and I'm going to talk about this first problem that we have, a great problem. We live in a broken world. And we're broken. And in this broken world, there is a dream killer, this dream killer. Today, I want to talk about one of them. It's called rejection. And to me, rejection is a dream killer. And so when I talk about rejection, you know, it's an absence of acceptance and love. A rejection is when you experience abandonment, neglect, betrayal, loss, and abuse. You know, in the Bible, Joseph, in the book of Genesis, you know, God gave Joseph a dream. You know, Joseph's bundle of grain rose up, you know, and the brother's bundle of grain bowed down to it. And then he had another dream. The sun and the moon and even the stars were bowing down to Joseph. And my interpretation of that dream is God was going to raise up Joseph to be a great leader. You know, God was going to raise up Joseph to be a great leader, a leader over his family, a leader over nature. and right after, you know, Joseph shared his dream, Joseph was rejected. Okay, right after the dream. You know, the next day, after he shared the dream, he was rejected. He was abandoned. He was neglected and abused by his brothers. Was forced into slavery. He was falsely accused, condemned, and punished. He was betrayed by the system, the structure, and the culture of that day. He lost everything when he was sold into slavery, and he lost everything again when he was falsely accused. Rejection is a dream killer. Right? Rejection is painful and scars us deep in our heart. And none of us deal with rejection well. None of us deal with rejection well. either we avoid rejection, you know, because it's so painful. Nobody could avoid it. Even Jesus was rejected. And nobody could avoid rejection. We all, in this broken world, will go through rejection. But how do we handle that rejection? We try to, we avoid it. Meaning we get rejected, we hide it, we suppress it, we run away from it, and we project it. Or we magnify the rejection. You know, it's just so painful. It's too much. So the rejection spews out of our heart. We magnify it, meaning we lash out. There's uncontrollable anger. There's violence. There's domination and control. There's bullying. You know, a bully is somebody who doesn't know how to handle rejection. And the result, when we, you know, avoid and magnify rejection, rejection will hurt you and others around you. And it opens the door to dream killers. Okay, when we do not handle rejection biblically, it becomes a dream killer. Why? That rejection becomes a seed to shame, becomes a seed to condemnation, fear, insecurity, self-blame, resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. The pain of rejection will release harshness, unbelief, stubbornness for some, you know, violence, fighting, control, manipulation. For some, the pain will release depression and anxiety and negativity, hopelessness, despair. For some, it will open the door to performance. You know, you feel rejected growing up, so you work hard and you perform. There's self-righteousness, there's selfishness that comes because of rejection. How does it create selfishness? You try to protect yourself. And without knowing, as you do that, you become in focus. So if there's shame, there's stubbornness, there's depression, it becomes, that rejection becomes a seed. It becomes a dream killer. It becomes a dream killer. Joseph was rejected by his brother, you know, by Potiphar that he served so faithfully. He was forgotten by a fellow prisoner he helped. And this is all in the Bible. And if Joseph held on to rejection, he suppressed it or magnified, I believe Joseph would have been crushed by rejection. Joseph would have never been able to accomplish God's purpose for his life, because that rejection would have became a dream killer. Instead of God's presence, Joseph would be filled with resentment. Instead of healing and freedom, Joseph would carry shame as a slave. Instead of breakthrough and blessing, Joseph would carry depression and hopelessness when he was in prison. Instead of right interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, Joseph would release vengeance and anger. Instead of being used to save millions from starvation, Joseph would have released violence. Instead of saving his family and the future line that eventually the Messiah will come, Joseph would have imprisoned and tortured his brothers because of rejection. Joseph did not hold on to rejection. All of Joseph's pain came from his brother's jealousy, from his brother's betrayal, abuse, and abandonment. Joseph's greatest pain in his life came from his brother's rejection. But Joseph didn't lash out or suppress rejection. Joseph was healed and set free and redeemed from rejection. How do I know that? That's what the Bible tells me. Right? Because when you read Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 to 21, this is what he says to his brothers. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Okay? Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This passage is a great passage on forgiveness. This is a great passage on forgiveness. God's forgiveness, not the worldly forgiveness. God's forgiveness. And this is, the world is going crazy right now. They don't understand this. You know, you say anything wrong, you do something wrong 15 years ago, you would be condemned. Yeah. But this is God's forgiveness that we need to practice with one another. As a church, during this time, do not be like the world. Do not be like the world. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party 10 years ago, the way I saw it, we needed both, because to me, the Democratic Party was the heart. The Republican Party was the head, and they needed to work together. That's how I saw it. We needed both, and they need to work together. Now they're trying to destroy one another. And it's not and this will hurt our nation. But not the church. This is what I'm calling the catalyst. Yes, the catalyst is made of different people. We got Republicans and we got Democrats. Some of you will both vote for Trump. Some of you will vote for Biden. It's okay. We'll still communicate and dialogue. We'll still love each other. We'll still work together. That's what the church is supposed to be. I'm going off topic. I gotta come back. Okay, it's a great example of forgiveness. It's a great example of forgiveness. And what I see from this passage, number one, Joseph, he released the offender to God. Right? He released the offender to God. He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" Okay? Joseph said that he is not the judge. He's not the jury and executioner. He's saying, "I can't take place of God." He releases his brother to God, the most righteous judge. Right? The people who think they could judge, and they have they are the one who, they shouldn't judge. They should not judge. What Joseph was saying, Joseph didn't minimize the offense. What he said is, "What you did really harmed me." He didn't minimize the offense. It traumatized me. It was the greatest pain in my life. He didn't belittle, the rejection. But he said, "Even though you hurt me," what he's saying is, "I'm not in the place of God. Right? Even though you hurt me, you owe me nothing. It is not my place to make you pay. And I release you to the judgment of God. He is the just judge. He will rightly decide the case. If there's any penalty, he will collect it." That's what Joseph is saying. And that's an example of forgiveness. And what I realize is when I carry offense, when you and I carry offense in our heart, we're not able to see clearly. Okay? We're not able to judge clearly. And right now it's just so many people are offended and they don't see clearly. Right? They do not see clearly. This is the reason the Bible says a person with a plank in the eye should not judge. Should not judge. Our eyes are super sensitive. If I just touched it, you will feel it. If I just touch your eye, because it is so sensitive. A person has a plank in the eye. This person is really offended. Very offended. Really, really offended. Right. When we start to, when we start to judge with a plank in the eye, it is judging with so much offense in your heart. You're judging out of bitterness. And we and whoever, when you judge out of bitterness and offense, you are not a good judge. We do not see clearly. A person with the plank in the eye, with so much offense and resentment and bitterness, when they judge, they will do more harm. They hurt people. Instead of judging or carrying the offense, Jesus tells the person with the plank in the eye, first, take the plank out. Then you'll be able to judge correctly. Right? Meaning, release that judgment, release the offense. Be healed from the rejection. Be set free and be redeemed first before you judge. You know, Joseph had a relationship with God, so he trusted God to handle the person who hurt him. You know, and I see that in my life. I got hurt like you. I got rejected like you. And there are many times I saw I didn't have to do anything. God vindicated me in many different ways. He vindicated me in many different ways. And there are times, you know, because I'm not God, you know, so I see God not vindicating me too when somebody hurt me from the past. But I trust God. And some of those times later on, what I saw was that God changed that person. God renewed that person. God redeemed that person. And I was glad that God didn't punish that person, vindicated me, because God changed that person. You see, I am not a good judge, jury, and an executioner, especially if there's hurt and offense. You know, like Joseph, we need to trust God to take that role. Number two, what I see in this passage, don't respond to rejection, but respond to God. That's forgiveness, biblical forgiveness. Don't respond to rejection, but respond to God. Joseph said, you intended to harm me. Okay, rejection, rejection, rejection. But God intended for good. Instead of looking at the rejection, Joseph looked at God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. And it says this, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When you get rejected, look at what God has done for you. And the Lord has forgiven you. That should be the motivation to forgive others. Instead of responding with evil, respond to God. Respond evil with good. That's biblical forgiveness. We say love is patient, love is kind, not envious, not proud, not easily angered. But the ultimate test of love is when someone hurts you. Luke 6 says, loving those who love you is not that big of a deal, but loving your enemy, loving those who hurt you, meaning forgive them. You don't have to become best friends with your enemy, you know. But what it's saying is forgive. Okay, forgive. That is the mercy that God shows. That is the mercy that God shows. How you respond when you get hurt is the barometer of love. You know, do you hold on to the resentment? You play the hurt in your mind over and over again. You hold a grudge. The bitterness starts to fester and cause an infection in your heart. Or forgive. That's the choice we have. You know, that's the choice we have. And 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love keeps no record of wrong. Love forgives. Love forgives. We can respond with good. We can respond to evil with forgiveness. We can respond to evil with love. Why? Because, again, we are looking at God. Why? Because God responds to our sin with good. God, Because God forgave us of all our sins. Because God loved us first. Number three, continue to forgive. Continue to forgive. In this passage, I got that because in the context of this passage, it was after Joseph's, the father passed away. And Joseph's brother feared, now that our father is dead, Joseph is going to pay us back for all the wrong we did to him. So it's been many years since, they've been together, I think. Months or a year, And his brothers were still going, Joseph's going to pay, want vengeance. Joseph's going to, put us in prison. Joseph's going to kill us, And especially after the father died, they really believed that Joseph was going to take vengeance. So Joseph reassure his brother that he has forgiven them. So this wasn't the first time Joseph forgave his brothers. It probably came up again and again and again and again. And that's what forgiveness is. What do I mean by that? Matthew 18 says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. To get some context to this passage, Jewish law recommend that you forgive three times. And that's pretty gracious in the Jewish law. You forgive three times. Peter thought he was going beyond by forgiving double that amount and adding one more, seven times. Yeah. And Jesus shocks Peter and says, you need to forgive 70 times seven. Okay. What Jesus is saying is don't count how many times you forgive. Okay. Peter probably got the abacus. Okay, 70 times seven. No, he says don't count. That's what he means. Don't count. Number seven is God's number representing completion, meaning infinitely, completely, and continuously forgive. Keep forgiving until the pain stops. If you feel the pain, continue to forgive. Keep forgiving until you can bless the other person that hurt you. Keep forgiving until you could love like Christ. Keep forgiving. Amen? Some once, again, this is our flesh, our human tendency. We want to hold on to the rejection, and I struggle with that, I battle with that, and you struggle with that, and you battle with that. Some want to blame others. Some want to play that hurt, the same rejections, the same pain over and over and over again in their mind and in their heart and in their emotion, until it affects them physically even. Let's not get stuck. Joseph wasn't stuck on Genesis 37 when his brother beat him up, abused him, threw him in a ditch, and sold him as a slave. Joseph wasn't stuck on Genesis 37. Joseph went to the next chapter. And we see in the book of Genesis, he went all the way to the end of the book of Genesis. Let's go to the next chapter. Past the hurt, past the rejection, past the pain, past the pattern of disappointment, and past the unfulfilled dream. Let's get out of the dream killer. Let's get unstuck from the rejection chapter. Let's embrace a new chapter. No more shame and condemnation chapter. No more bitterness and resentment chapter. Next chapter, let's go toward the chapter of forgiveness. Another chapter of healing. Another chapter of freedom. And don't stop there. Another chapter of redemption. And the church said, Amen.